I ask that you would speak to us today through the parables, not only the parable that you have given us, but also this modern-day parable that I have put together. And I ask that you would give us your message for each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus used stories to make points. Now, I'm rather fond of Jesus, mostly because he's rather fond of me. But not only for that reason, he knew how to make a point, and sometimes, though, he made a point, but it was hidden. And he would hide it in parables, and he did it for a reason. No matter what he called it with these stories, we call them parables. They are still little stories or pictures that he would give us of things. I thought it might be good enough for Jesus to tell stories to make a point. Maybe it's a method that's just as good for us as well. And so last week I told you the story about Give Me Some Roy and the search for that perfect high. And this week I have another one. And we've got some for the next couple of weeks. But I want to start off today with what Jesus says and his parables. Let me, if you get out page one, now you got four pages. Now you may notice here, all these parables are in the 13th chapter of Matthew. So if you want to find them all, they're right there. You basically got the whole chapter. And that is the parables of Jesus, that one of the places in Matthew, and it's the whole chapter. And there was a point to that, too. Let me read to you the first two verses. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and he sat there. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. Now, have you ever been on Lake Decatur around there when it's real calm? You can hear somebody clear across the lake. And that's why he used that. Read with me verses 3 to 9. Here we go. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I want to point out something to you. When Jesus started this, he just told a story. He gave absolutely no guidance about that story. Later on, he's with his disciples by himself. And all the crowds are still out there, but he's with them. And then he explains to them this particular parable. Read with me verses 18 to 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, you're nothing but dirt. You might, whoever you said that to, you might say, yeah, I suppose you're something else. this parable, Jesus does not explain it to the crowds, but he does to his disciples. And he says, you're nothing but dirt. Now the question is, and this is true of all of us, what kind of dirt are you? Also, even if you're good dirt, if you have thorns, that has to do with the cares of the world. You know, sometimes the circumstances, situations of our lives just drag us down and bury us, you might say, in terms of all that. And we just don't have time for God because all the cares of the world are just rattling around on us all the time. And so it gets choked off. And some of us, we hear the word, but because we have resource, we're able to spend a lot of time in terms of the riches of this world. And so we have leisure and pleasures, and we take care of all that kind of stuff because this whole Word of God thing, and it gets choked again. So even if you're good dirt, if the cares of the life that you have drag you down, you get choked off. Or if you just want to get into all the good stuff, that can choke it off. He explained it to his disciples, but he didn't explain that to the crowds. But he said, he who has ears, let him hear. Read with me verses 24 to 30. Here we go. Another parable he put before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the household came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest ye gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into the barns. Now, he comes along right after that, and he gives an explanation for this particular parable. So read with me 36 to 43. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed means the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and throw them into the furnace of fire. Their men will weep and gnash their teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This particular parable, people are no longer dirt. They are seeds or weeds. And that includes all of us. Now, one of the things that I want you to notice here is he says, no, don't go pulling everything up because it's not all bad stuff. And he said, one of the things that I know about us as God's people and being a pastor of a church and over the years, I know that there are seeds and weeds in the people. And it does not yet appear what all of us shall be. Dare I even say it? You want the truth? Some of us are seeds. And some of us are weeds. And in this world, you can just push that all into the whole world. And there is a judgment. What kind of seed or weed are you? Does not always appear. I don't know yet. And so I wouldn't be too quick to judge anyone, because you don't know how they will turn out. Jesus goes on in this particular chapter. Read with me the parable of the mustard seed. Another parable he put before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." In this one, the kingdom of heaven is like a small seed, a very small thing. It's so small that you wouldn't even notice it. And yet, if that kingdom of heaven is planted, it grows, and then all kinds of people, birds, can come and find a place in that kingdom. Read with me the 11th one. He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened." Now, in this one, it's hidden. The leaven is so small, but it's hidden in one, and it comes into it, and before you know it, the yeast causes everything to rise, and the bread rises. And let me tell you, the kingdom of heaven comes to us sometimes in churches like leaven. And it begins to happen, and it begins to happen, and suddenly the whole loaf is filled. Hidden and small is the kingdom of heaven. Read with me the treasure of the field. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." I talked to the kids a little bit about this, but the kingdom of heaven is like this. If you find the kingdom of heaven, you'll give your life for it. You know, this guy goes and sells everything he has and he buys the field, but you know, it doesn't say it, but I'm sure he had to work the field in order to keep the treasure. Read with me the pearl of great price. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it." The kingdom of heaven, if you really find it, you will give your life in order to acquire it. Jesus told these parables. And then he tells one about fishy people. Let's read it together. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net which was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into vessels, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire. Their men will weep and gnash their teeth." You're also nothing but fish. If you notice in this, it's kind of like the saying that I have. It doesn't take all kinds. We just got all kinds. What kind of fish are you? Because there is a judgment. And there is a separation. What kind of fish are you? And he talks about these things. And then, read with me verse 34, 35, 51. "All this Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Have you understood all this?" They said to him, "Yes." When God asks you a question, he's not looking for information. Do you understand all this? Now that I've prayed for your IQ to rise. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from them. You who have ears, may you hear. Now let's join together in our music. Guys, unlock the deaf ears as we draw near. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would join with me in reading John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3 and 6 to 8. Here we go. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth. And disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. And he said to this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, anointed the man's eyes with the clay, saying to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar said, is not this the man who used to sit and beg? As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Why are you you? Why did the things that have happened to you in your life, why? What situations, circumstances have you had to endure? Why your life? As opposed to maybe somebody sitting on the same row with you. And he spoke to them in parables. One day the archangel Gabriel came to God with a downcast face. God asked, what troubles you? Gabriel replied, I've seen something very sad. And then he pointed between his feet and he said, down there. God kind of smiled and said, on earth? There's no shortage of sadness down there. Well, let's see. And they looked together, and on earth they saw a ragged figure trudging slowly along a country road on the outskirts of Jerusalem. He was very thin, and his legs, arms, and body were covered with sores. Dogs would chase after him, barking, but the wretched man never turned to strike at them with his staff, even when they nipped at his heels. He simply trudged on, limping as he walked. And as they watched, at one point, a number of beautiful, well-fed children threw stones at him as he begged with an empty bowl. One of them cried, go away, you nasty thing, into the fields and die. And Gabriel could contain himself no longer, and he burst into tears as he watched. Now, God said, wrapping his arm around him, I thought you were made of sterner stuff, Gabriel. And Gabriel said, yeah, no doubt. It's just that that fellow down there seems to sum up everything which has ever gone wrong for all the people of the earth. And God replied, of course he does. That is Jabez, whose name means pain. And that is his job, his destiny. Gabriel said, perhaps, covered his eyes, but I can't bear to watch him do it. His sorrow fills my heart with darkness. And God said, darkness is not allowed here. And therefore, I must take steps to change what has brought it into you. Look here, my good friend, my heart is warmed by your very existence, so I will show you a great truth. Gabriel looked and saw that God was holding a diamond as big as a peacock's egg. And God said, a diamond of this size and quality will feed Jabez for the rest of his life and keep his descendants until the seventh generation. It is, in fact, the finest on earth. Now, let's see how things unfold. And God leaned forward and on his hands and knees, he held that diamond out between two puffy clouds and he let it drop. And he and Gabriel watched as it fell and marked where it fell in the center of the road on which Jabez walked. The diamond was so large and so heavy that Jabez would no doubt have heard it strike the earth had he been a younger man, but his hearing had failed quite severely in the last few years, along with his lungs and back and kidneys. Only his eyesight, his vision remained as keen as it had been when he was 20. As he struggled up a rise in the road, unaware of the huge diamond which lay gleaming and flashing on the far side in the hazy sunshine, Jabez sighed deeply and he stopped and he bent over his staff as his sigh turned into a fit of coughing, and he held onto his staff with both hands, and he tried to weather the spasm of coughing that was taking him at that moment. And just as it was beginning to ease, the staff, the old and dry, almost as worn out as Jabez himself, snapped with a dry crack, and it threw Jabez into the dust of the road, face down. He rolled over and he lay there and he looked up at the sky wondering why God was so cruel. And he kind of spoke to the clouds and to the sky and to God. He says, I have outlived all those I love the most, but not those I hate. I have grown so old and ugly that the dogs bark at me and children throw stones at me. I have nothing but scraps to eat these last 3 months and no decent meal with family and friends for at least 10 years. I'm a wanderer on the face of the earth with no home to call my own. And tonight I will sleep under a tree or a hedge with no roof over my head to keep the rain off. I'm covered with sores, my back aches, and when I pass water, I see blood where no blood should be. My heart is as empty as my begging bowl. And after this rant, he slowly rolled over and got to his feet. Unaware that less than 60 feet and a slight rise in the land hid his still keen eyesight from the world's largest diamond. And as he looked up at the hazy blue sky, he said, God, I am unlucky. I do not hate you, God, but I fear you are not my friend, nor any man's friend. Having said this, he felt a little bit better and resumed his trudge up the path, pausing only to pick up the longer piece of his broken staff. And as he walked, he began to reproach himself for his self-pity and for his ungrateful talk toward God and what he'd been saying. And he says, you know, I do have a few things to be grateful for. The day is extraordinarily beautiful, for one thing. And although I have failed in many ways, in many respects, my vision is still really keen. Think how terrible that would be if I were blind. And to prove this to himself, Jabez closed his eyes. And he began to shuffle along with his broken staff stretched out in front of him as a blind man would use his cane. And he kept his eyes shut. And as he walked, the darkness was terrible and stifling and disorienting. He soon had no idea if he was moving on the way he had been going or if he was wandering off to one side of the road or the other, and might soon go tumbling into a ditch, but he kept his eyes closed. The thought of what could happen to his old brittle bones in such a fall frightened him, but he kept his eyes firmly shut, and he continued to forge ahead. And then he started talking to himself. "This is just the thing to cure you of your ingratitude, old fella," he told himself. "You're going to spend the rest of the day remembering that you may be a beggar, but at least you're not a blind beggar. And you will be happy." Jabez did not walk into the ditch on either side, but he did begin to drift off to the right of the road as he topped the rise, and he started down the far side, and this is how he walked past the huge diamond which lay glowing in the dust. His left foot missed it by less than 2 inches. 30 yards or so farther on, he opened his eyes. Bright summer sunshine flooded them, seemed to flood his mind as well. He looked with gladness at the dusty blue sky, the dusty yellow fields, and the beaten dirt track of the road upon which he walked. He marked the passage of a bird from one tree to the next with laughter. Although he never turned once back to look on the road behind him to see the huge diamond which lay there, his sores and aching back, they were forgotten. And he looked up at the heavens and he said, "Thank God for sight. Thank God for that, at least. Perhaps I shall see something of value on the road of my life as I travel today. An old bottle worth money at the bazaar, or even a coin. But even if I do not, I shall look my fill. Thank God for sight. Thank God for God." Well satisfied, he set off again down the road to Jerusalem by way of Jericho, leaving the diamond behind. God then reached down and scooped it up, replacing it beneath the mountain in Africa from which he had taken it. And almost as an afterthought, if God could be said to have afterthoughts, he plucked up an ironwood branch from the wilderness and he dropped it onto the Jericho road as he had dropped the diamond. "The difference is," God told Gabriel, "our friend Jabez will find the branch, and it will serve him as a staff for the rest of his days. Oh, by the way, Gabriel, my son will pass by here on this very road tomorrow." Read with me Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. "As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a multitude going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.' And he cried, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' He said, 'Lord, let me receive my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. You have ears to hear, may you hear." The difference is, God told Gabriel, our friend Jabez will have the branch, and it will serve him as a staff for the rest of his days. And Gabriel looked at God as nearly as anyone, even an archangel, can look on all that glory. And he said, "Have you given me a lesson, Lord?" And God responded, "I don't know, have I?" Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" "This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. May the Lord bless you this day.